Today is just a few days before the secular calendar turns over, before the new year that the country and the world is going to celebrate with fireworks and whoopee-doos and all of that. It's the day dogs all scurry under beds, and, you know, that's an awful thing, you know. So be kind to pets, maybe not shoot them off. Yeah, right. But we also, we're not only coming to the end of the new, the end of this year, we're also come to the final portion in Genesis. They just happen to line up this year. And the portion has to do with the deaths of both Jacob and Joseph. And I find it interesting and a little bit funny that the book of Genesis starts, you know, it starts with a portion with creation, and it goes on with the fall of man through Adam and Eve. But the book of Genesis ends with the promise of return or salvation to all men, as we'll see in this message. The title of the portion, the Torah portion, is Vayechi, which means, and he lived. And that may speak about how he, Jacob, how he lived, the space and the time and the place that he lived, and all the things about Israel's life. But there are also instructions to us regarding eternity. The words of Torah, when we read them, are instructions and indications of what lies ahead for us as believers and the promise that we have in Messiah Yeshua. We read the start of the portion, we read this, Genesis 47:28, starting there. Now Jacob lived in the land of Egypt for 17 years. So the days of Jacob, the years of his life, were 147 years. As the time of Israel's death drew near, he called for his son, Joseph, and said to him, "If I have found favor in your eyes, please put your hand under my thigh and show me faithful kindness. Please do not bury me in Egypt. When I lie down with my fathers, you must carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial place." So he said, "I myself will do according to your word." "Swear to me," he said. So he swore to him. Then Israel bowed down and worshiped on the head of his staff. What happened? I was off my slides, huh? Did they move it all? Where should I be? The next one is Genesis 50. I should be there. Okay, thank you. Sorry about that, guys. This is how the portion starts. The instructions from Jacob to Joseph on what to do at his death. The portion ends with Joseph preparing for his death by giving instruction, and then his death, his actual death, which we see in Genesis 50. Hopefully you'll see it. So it says, starting in 24 of Genesis 50, "Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'I'm about to die, but God will surely take notice of you and will bring you up from this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob.' Then Joseph made Israel's sons swear an oath, saying, 'When God takes notice of you, you will bring my bones up from there.' So Joseph died at 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was placed in a coffin in Egypt." You know, I think I'm going to let you take the slides. I just finished the second set, Genesis 50, 24. Thank you. We start the portion with the death of the father and finish with the death of his son. And both give instructions for what they want at their death. They didn't want anything fancy. They didn't want to show any kind of pride in wanting an elaborate funeral or burial. But both did show that they trusted in Adonai. They believed in the promise of Adonai that they would return to the promised land. But they knew that they couldn't do it on their own, but they trusted. They trusted the sons or brothers that they asked that they would carry out their requested instructions. But more so, they trusted Adonai that they and their people of Israel would return to the promised land. They wanted their bodies and bones to go to the promised land, even though Egypt had been good to them for these final years of their life. It wasn't like, you know, it's bad here, I want to go there. They didn't want to go back to Canaan because they thought the Canaan was better, but because it was promised by Adonai. And the promises of Adonai are always better than the present situations, no matter how good your situation is. Adonai made a promise or covenant to his people, and Joseph and Jacob knew it. And within their stories of their death, we see that promise played out so that we also know and believe in the promise. What is Adonai's promise to us that we should look forward to during life and death? We can look at Jacob and Joseph to see it. When we do look, we should know, first of all, though, that everyone in Egypt was a slave to Pharaoh, right? They were all sold to Pharaoh when there was the famine. That was under Joseph's instructions. And even Israel, the nation, the Jewish people, became slaves. Even though they were not sold during the famine because they were being fed by Joseph off the Pharaoh's table, but eventually they would be enslaved there in Egypt. But God's promise of a good land means not being a slave any longer. Now, Egypt is a type of sin and slavery in hell. That's what Egypt is. This is just like our lives as well. The stories of Jacob and Joseph and their deaths teach us something about death. There are those that believe that they need to sin in order to get into hell. Although, that's really not the case. There's no way of sinning into hell. People think that because that's what the world wants to think. If I'm a good person, I'll be okay. And they think you have that it's only when they sin that they're going to get into hell. The type that Egypt shows us is that we don't do something for that separation from Adonai, which is hell. But the world is born into that separation from Adonai, and that we have to be delivered from it or to get out of it, just as Israel needed to get out of Egypt to get into the promised land. They weren't all born in the promised land, sinned, so they were sent to Egypt and then redeemed back into it. They were all born into slavery, and they get freed from it by salvation and atonement. It's just like us. Both Jacob and Joseph understood the need to be taken to the promised land. In Genesis 50:24, we see this from what Joseph says just before dying. I read it earlier, but I want to look at it again. Genesis 50:24 through 25. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I'm about to die, but God will surely take notice of you and will bring you up from this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." Then Joseph made Israel's sons swear an oath, saying, "When God takes notice of you, you will bring my bones up from there." we see that Joseph understood the promise that was made by Adonai. And by faith, he held on to it. He knew that it was not in Egypt that he was to rest for eternity, but it was in the promised land. And he held on to that, even though he knew he wouldn't see it in his lifetime. We're told this in Hebrews 11, starting in Hebrews 11, 13. Those all died. All those with faith is what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. Those all died in faith without receiving the things promised. But they saw them and welcomed them from afar. And they confessed that they were strangers and sojourners on the earth. For those who say such things make clear that they are seeking a homeland. If indeed they had been thinking about where they had come from, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they yearn for a better land, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. The parallel of the promised land between the promised land and Canaan, the promised land being heaven, is what we are to see. According to the promised land, they did not see it, though. They didn't see the heaven. The people listed in Hebrews 11 all had faith of the promise and that it was still to come. And though they didn't see it there in their lifetime on earth, but they would see it. They would see that heaven to come. They had faith that their existence, which they had known in the flesh, was not ended with the death of their flesh, but the spirit would continue and gain the promise that was made. This answers the question, why is it important to live life the right way now? Yeshua, in Mark 12, 26, quotes Exodus 3, 6 to show that those who died are in an afterlife and our lives now matter. When answering the Sadducees about their resurrection, this is what Yeshua said, Mark 12, 26. But concerning the dead being raised, haven't you read in the book of Moses about the burning bush? How God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but of the living. You have gone astray. Yeshua explains that Adonai's concern is not because of the life and spirit ends with the death of the flesh, but that the spirit lives on based on the actions taken during the life in the flesh. It's important to Adonai that we have faith while in the flesh, so that the life that we will continue living in the spirit will be with him. There's a difference between being blessed on earth in this life and the blessing of the promise to come. Both Jacob and Joseph knew that they were blessed during their lives. In fact, we see Jacob tell this to Joseph in Genesis 48. Genesis 48, starting in 3, says, when Jacob said to Joseph, then Jacob said to Joseph, El Shaddai appeared to me in Luz, in the land of Canaan, and blessed me. He said to me, I am going to make you fruitful and multiply you, and turn you into an assembly of peoples, and I will give this land to your seed after you as an everlasting possession. Jacob says that he was blessed by Adonai, but he still understood that in the end he wanted and needed to be in the promised land. He knew that it was not what happens to you during this lifetime, but what happens after this lifetime that really counts. This life is but a race, really. Which is why Shaul, the Apostle Paul, put it this way when writing to Timothy in the second letter that we have recorded that he wrote to Timothy. He says this in 2 Timothy 4:6, starting there. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is reserved for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to everyone who has longed for his appearing. Shaul knew he was about to die, but encouraged Timothy as well as us not to give up until the race is completed. We must know that if we run a race and are winning the whole way, but we stop 2 feet from the finish line, we don't win. There are lots of videos that you can find online of people who thought they were winning the race and celebrated and stopped running and someone passes them by. They don't win. They don't get that prize of the first place. We have to continue to run. On a marathon, you see these runners run right to the finish line and then they collapse exhausted. But they finished, and then it's okay for someone to pick them up and carry and take care of them. We can be exhausted in this life because someone's going to pick us up, carry us. We may be exhausted, but we have to finish the race now. Don't give up. We're to remember that Adonai will not take the blessing of the promise of life eternal before him away. He will not remove it from you. But you can stop running the race yourself. Or in other words, you can walk away from it. Adonai does not want that of you. But also, he can't stop you. He can't stop you from running. He can't stop you from walking away. He will not force himself upon you to keep you running correctly. He wants you to keep running, but won't force you to keep running. You have to do that on your own. But we also have to know that he does not tire of waiting for us to come to him. He wants us to accept in faith Messiah Yeshua as soon as possible. But only so that we don't miss out. Because we don't know when the last of our days will be. We don't know when our last breath is going to be. You know, everyone says, you don't know if you step off the curb and a bus is going to hit you. You just don't know. But he doesn't want you to miss it. He doesn't want you to die without knowing him. We just don't know what time we have left on earth. So we have to call and accept and hold in faith that Yeshua is the Messiah so that we gain atonement regardless of when that end time is. However, even in your life, if you've backslidden away from him, he still waits for you to get yourself back up and start running again. And he's right there and wants you to cross the line. And even if you've never known Messiah Yeshua as your Savior, he's waiting for you. He wants you to run the race he's plotted out before you so that you would accept Messiah Yeshua, so that you would cross the line with Messiah, so that you will gain the prize, the promise that he has for you. He has a promise whether you're already saved, already atoned for by the blood of Messiah, or not. You may think, I don't know God. God doesn't know me, so it doesn't matter. It does matter. It matters to Him. He's waiting for you. He's just waiting for you to turn to Him. In both Genesis 47 and 50, a formal oath was made to return them to the promised land. So it is with Yeshua and His promise, and the promise He made to every person who was ever created, that you can have eternity with Him, that you don't have to be separated from Him, regardless of how long in this life you've been separated from Him. We know Jacob owned the land that was purchased by Abraham and passed down through the family. Now, even though they were out of the land for a time, in fact, they were out of the land for a long time, right? They still owned the land. They still had the promised land there. Jacob, at the time of his death, was 17 years out of the land. Of course, it was even longer for Joseph when he died, and it was almost 400 years before his bones were returned. So backsliders, those who've never called on Him before, no, it doesn't matter how long. He's still there because that land was purchased. The promise was purchased for you. As flesh, we all must die at some time. We see in Genesis 47 when it says, at the time of Israel's death drew near. And that means that all things must die. We should know that death of the flesh is not something that can be overcome or just canceled. Doesn't happen. Regardless of who we are or who we think we are, we will die in the flesh, which is also seen in Psalm 22. So Psalm 22, 30, in your Hebrew scriptures, 29 in your English scriptures, says this: all the rich of the earth will feast and worship. Everyone who goes down to the dust will kneel before Him, even the one who could not keep his own soul alive. His posterity will serve Him, telling the next generation about My Lord. They will come and declare His righteousness to a people yet to be born, because He has done it. Those who think that they can do eternity without Him, as well as those who place their trust in Him, all will die. Just no getting around it. And for the believer that Yeshua is the Messiah, at death, the comfort for us is not that suffering will end. That's really not the comfort. The comfort is the promise that came from Adonai is enacted. Salvation being before Him. Now, yes, the body doesn't suffer any longer. And that's wonderful. That's a great side effect. But we don't have heaven here. But we have a promise of heaven is what we're currently have in reality. Many people say we have received and have it all already. Well, we don't. We see this in 1 Peter when it says this. 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. In His great mercy, He caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Messiah Yeshua from the dead. An unincorruptible, undefiled, and unfading inheritance has been reserved in heaven for you. by trusting, you are being protected by God's power for salvation ready to be revealed in that last time. Peter wrote that those who have faith in Messiah Yeshua have a living hope through the resurrection, meaning that we don't have salvation yet, but the hope of salvation. And remember, hope is not the hope the world has. Oh, I hope, I wish, maybe, maybe not. Hope is knowing what Messiah and Yeshua can do and that it's always true. So if we don't have salvation yet, then where is it? He says salvation is an inheritance that is waiting for us in heaven, ready to be revealed and given to us in that last time at our resurrection. It is the thing to look forward towards, not that we have it now. Now, going back to Psalm 22, we saw that all will die. Therefore, we are to tell everyone now and to the next generation of Adonai and Yeshua, because he has done it. Or as Yeshua said, and we read in John 30:19, it is finished. Yeshua was quoting the psalm as his final words to indicate that the one who was to come to bring salvation has come. And that part of the plan is now complete with his physical death. Therefore, because we have a promised place before him, we must not settle and call this our home. But we're to look forward to the promised home. Do not think that the location of Jacob's body or Joseph's bones was important. We don't read the Torah portion for today and think that there's any importance to where we're buried. Otherwise, we'd all be on jets to Israel to get buried. But that it was the faith of both Jacob and Joseph that was shown. That's the importance for us today. And the reason that we're told of their deaths and the manner of their burials. Now, we know that some promises of God take a long time to fulfill, and we must preserve in trusting. Now, there was an English pastor who had founded many orphanages and ran orphanages in England, and his name was George Muller. In a sermon that he preached when he was 75 years old, he said that 30,000 times over 54 years, he received the answer to prayer the same day he prayed. Wow, I wish I could say that. 30,000 times in 54 years, the same day. But he also said that not all the prayers were answered that quickly. In fact, he had one prayer that he prayed about 20,000 times over 11 years that was unanswered at the time he gave the sermon. But he still trusted God for the answer. That means he prayed that prayer almost 5 times a day for 11 years in faith that someday it would be answered. I don't know what the prayer was for. I don't know if he received it before he died. I don't know if he got it after he died. I don't know if he was praying a prayer that God had already said no, and he just didn't recognize the no. I don't know. But it shows us to pray in faith. Pray in faith until either we see an answer or we get an answer. Pray in faith without giving up. That means for the family members that we've prayed for 20 years, that they would be saved. Pray in faith. For the healings in our bodies that we haven't received in years, pray in faith. Nothing should get in your way. Unless you hear Adonai specifically say, no, my answer is no, stop praying. And he will at times. Sometimes our flesh causes us to pray for something that's not aligned with him. It happens. Our flesh is pretty strong. It can get us to say and do things we don't want to do. Keep praying in faith until you get an answer, until you see an answer, until it's fulfilled. I bet if you pray for family members for 20, for 30 years, you will never hear no. He wants all to be saved. Maintain your prayers for everybody. Joseph's death and faith of looking forward to the promised land is fitting for the end of the book of Genesis in the scriptures. Because it looks forward towards what the scriptures are really for. To keep us looking forward to the promise and the instructions on how to get that promise. The instructions are, live righteously. The instructions are, live with faith in Adonai. And the instructions are, accept my plan for salvation. It was blood. We see that in Leviticus 17. It never changes. It was animal sacrifices. It was still sacrifices in the Brit Hadashah, the New Covenant. This time, instead of the blood of animals, it was the blood of Messiah Yeshua. Instead of the sacrifice of animals, it's the sacrifice of Adonai. The perfect sacrifice. What makes him perfect? Well, the bodies of the animals were burnt up and earth. But the body of Messiah Yeshua never saw decay. He rose and he's before the Adonai and he acts as our emissary. He acts on behalf of us before Adonai. Father, we thank you that you have a plan, that you've shown it to us. That yes, you said it is finished as you hung from the stake. But that was your part that was finished, not our part. Our part is to continue in faith. Our part is to continue in prayer. Our part is to continue to show a dying world, a lost and dying world, that there is a way to salvation. Our part does not end until you call us before the throne and show us the fulfillment of your promise. Ruach HaKodesh, give us the energy, give us the strength to finish and run the race that is before us. Help us to never stop running. And for those who have stopped running, help them to pick them up. In fact, Adonai, Ruach HaKodesh, pick them up. Help them to run right to the end. For those who've never ran, who have never known you, Adonai, by the Spirit, by the Ruach HaKodesh, come upon them and help them see the path that you have for them, that you want them to run. Ruach HaKodesh, your word says that you would desire to see all saved. So we will not stop praying. Hell too. We will not stop praying. We will not give up. We will not. The finish line is right there. We can see it. We will not stop running. We will not. Ruach HaKodesh, help us to continue the run. Help us to continue to move forward in your promise. You do have a promise that will be fulfilled. We just thank you for that. We thank you in Yeshua's name. And everyone says, amen and amen. Gotta love it when you're in the middle of a prayer and the battery runs out.